24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town. Yeah,
it's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast, where professional players deserve professional fans. We're joined here, of course, by Money Mike, Stat Pat, myself, Simsta, and we have a special guest today, Z. Z is a big part of our show. She's always there behind the scenes. However, today she's going to be up front on camera with us because, of course, the coronavirus affects everybody, all of us, all sports fans, non-sports fans, everybody alike. So we're going to get right into it. We're going to talk about some of the headlines, some of the things we know, some of the things we don't know. Right now, the news that has come out is that Anthony Davis from the Lakers did not test positive. He was a negative. So we're slowly building the Lakers all negative team and slowly ruling out who this must have been on the positive side. And then on a negative side, we did hear that the great Doris Burke did test positive, so we're hoping that she's okay, and if she has any symptoms, that they're mild. Let's go ahead and talk about the Laker team. Pat, let's talk about that. I know that this is a little bit of fun. Let's make fun of it. Let's just, bring a little bright lights to it. Okay, so we have the Laker all-negative team. I think if we're right, we're assuming we have LeBron on that team. We have Anthony Davis, Quinn Cook, Jared Dudley, JaVale McGee. Is there anyone else that I forgot or I'm missing, guys?
No, I think that's the ones that are on record of saying. I mean, pretty much it doesn't have it. Yeah.
Okay. Other than that, Kuz has been active on social media, but I haven't necessarily seen him with anyone. He's just been home alone. So, he may be asymptomatic, but he's been on social media. We also know Money Mike, we have some good news as well coming out of Utah. What's that?
Yeah, so Utah, Rudy Gobert and Donovan, they have 100% fully recovered. So that's good news for them. And we're happy that they'll be able to go on and live, live in Prosper. And we have an opportunity to beat them in the playoffs if it starts up again.
Exactly. Yeah. And it will. It will. We know it will. We know it will. Z, let's get into this here.
Yes.
Why don't we just get going? What's your take on all this? What's your take on how this is all progressing? It seems that the restrictions are getting tighter and tighter. What do you feel? What do you feel about all this?
I think that this virus is something really interesting, and only time will tell how this is going to shake out. But me personally, I've been loading up on vitamin C. I've been taking vitamin D. I've been getting plenty of fresh air and sunlight and drinking plenty of water and tea. So that's what I've been doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Keep everyone safe as much as we can.
Right. I've been enjoying time with my family, though. That's the one thing I could say about Corona. It's been giving me a lot of quality time with the family.
Right.
Yeah, everyone's doing that. What's it like? What's it been like? Have you been to the store, Pat? What's it like when you've been to the store? What does that feel like?
Well, now, so I found that I had a N95 mask at home. So I was ecstatic about that. I had a mask. I got the gloves. So, yeah, I'm going in there, ready for battle. Like, I'm going in there straight up. I got a mask on. I got my gloves on, because I'm not trying to bring it home to four other people. I mean, I got a lot of people in the house. So it's like I got to make sure that I'm trying to be careful at all times. But, it was surprising to see some of the Yeah, Z showed me that. Yep, exactly. That's what I'm looking like. I look just like that. Just masked out. I don't have the hat on, though. I want to get the hat and the sunglasses. If I can get the eye gear, I'll be great. But everyone taking it day by day. But for the most part, I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, my backyard is looking great. Like, I'm out there working hard. I mean, stuff I never would have thought I would be able to do. I'm doing it right now. You know, I'm cutting. You know, I'm going to Home Depot, which is funny because Home Depot is that store they put on the essential list. So you can literally go to Home Depot. I think it's more about, like, psychological, you know, maybe some help your mental, because it's like if you didn't have something to do and you were just in your house and you didn't really have an outlet, you would probably go damn crazy. I don't know how that helps, but hey, I mean, you're still allowed to go to Lowe's. So I took full advantage of it. But yeah, that's basically what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, getting the honeydew list completed.
Man, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much halfway through. But I mean, I think
halfway through.
Yes, because I had nothing. I mean, you wake up like tomorrow. I'm be up there from like 9 to like 4 out there in the backyard just chopping stuff, you know, like, you know, so. That's basically it, man. That's all I'm doing.
Man, I wish I was handy like you, man. I'm finding me some new reality shows.
Dude, I'm telling you,
Tiger. Did y'all see
Tiger King? Thank you very much, bro. We're about to talk about it. Tiger King. Y'all got on Tiger King.
Tiger King.
Tiger King, dude.
Everyone's all about the Tiger King.
Man, I heard about Tiger King, but I haven't watched it.
I haven't finished it, though. I haven't finished it.
Don't tell it. So how far are we going on it, though?
I'm one episode.
Episode five.
Okay, let me just tell you all this, and I'm not spoiling nothing, but they got the worst investigation team. Whoever does investigation for that county, they are horrible. Okay. It's stuff that go on.
I need to see it.
And nobody get caught. I'm
like, dude, I need to see. I just need to see.
Yeah, that's it. No, I'm not even spoiling anything because do you see this? This is like straight ridiculous.
It's already wild. Jeff,
what episode are you on?
Jeff, what episode are you on, Jeff?
I only watched the first episode.
Oh, so Jeff ain't even got into it yet.
Jeff ain't even got into it yet.
Where you at, Pat?
I said I just finished episode 5. So
okay, cool.
So we're about to start getting into it.
Yeah. You into it a little bit now.
Yeah.
But no, it's wild though. But wait, man. We're gonna talk about this next week.
We might have to do that.
Yeah, because I'm telling y'all.
Have a segment of like shows we watch and for a homework assignment. We gotta get on the Tiger King.
Tiger King, I'm telling you right now, Tiger King is the craziest.
Is it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, the first episode right now. Jeff is kind of bored, you know. Mm-hmm. I already know.
Introducing everybody.
Yeah. That first episode is real boring. It ain't right around the second and third. And Pat knows what I'm talking about. Right around the second, third episode, you all in, and then you're watching it because you're like, this is just so ridiculous. It just gets more and more ridiculous the whole time.
It does not stop. Like, you think that it can't get crazier, dude. This dude is, like I said, man, I'm not going to spoil it for you, Jeff. I think I need you to watch this just because. And I'm not even trying to pump it up, dude. This is, I watch a lot of Netflix, docuseries, like Making a Murderer,
right.
The Staircase. I watch the Evil Genius. Like, I watch those. Like, that's my thing on Netflix. I watch those. So when I'm saying this, for real, like, this is probably the wildest one I've seen because the stories change all the time. And you're like, for real? Like, it just continues, man.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you, Pat, but my reaction was like, this really happened. This stuff really happened.
It's true. It's true. So you're like, there's a fool out there like you?
More. But see, but that's the thing, though. You're like at 5. You realize that there's more than one.
Yes. So, we're going to come reconvene.
We're going to reconvene and see what you're talking about.
We'll be there next.
You know, and Tiger King is not sponsoring us, but I'm telling you, it's a wild ride. That's
deal. Yeah. At least I got one episode in, so I know who I'm talking about with Joe Exotic. So.
Oh yeah. Oh, I love Joe Exotic though. He's crazy. You know, but you ain't seen nothing yet, though.
Yeah, it's coming.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
It's coming. It's coming. All right, so that's a great show. On the other side of things, there's been an online party going on, unlike any other, and it's been incredible. It's been awesome. DJ D-Nice has Club Quarantine going. Have you all visited Club Quarantine at least once?
Yeah, I've gone.
I haven't done it yet.
You haven't been to Club Quarantine?
I haven't been to Club Quarantine.
Oh,
no, man.
It's happening. Like 40,000 people on an Instagram
Live.
Yeah,
hey, Michelle Obama. I mean, Michelle Obama being there, Barack, and you know, all of them.
The music, and you see their comments come up, and everyone's there. So you're,
man, and look, they're talking like, oh, not 112. It is really a club. Everybody in there watching, for real.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
It's crazy.
He said today when he signed off, he said that he'll be back on Saturday. So not until next Saturday.
Yeah, everybody waiting to go.
Yeah, everyone's like, no.
Everybody waiting to go.
Yeah, it was great. So definitely, if you haven't checked out Club Quarantine and D-Nice next Saturday, you want to do that.
But I will tell you guys this, though. This is how crazy it is, because LL Cool J was on, he was like, hey, what's up, y'all? I'm taking calls. Taking calls, and my wife is on there trying, hoping he picked me. He kept going in and out trying to get another request. Like, this is literally what we're going to now. Yeah. The sport is to be able to talk to somebody over Instagram because everybody is quarantined. So, you know, it's like we're all, you know, because, you know, you would just say, like, in general, you know, there's so many levels to celebrity, you know, where you are financially and all that stuff. And everybody seemed like they was unreachable. And you would say, like, during the election time, this is the only time that when you go out the vote that you're equal to, like, Oprah, for example. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But at this level now, everybody is doing the same thing. Everybody's quarantined at the house, just trying to find different people to talk to. Because we're tired of talking to people in our house.
I did see this. A CSUN professor, I believe it was from CSUN, created a live virtual updating map of the coronavirus cases and where those people live within the LA County, so you can see individual cities. And I was looking at this a few days ago, and I saw something that I found that was quite interesting. And I also think I have a theory as to why. As you're looking at the test numbers, it'll tell you exactly how many tests tested, you know, positive in Culver City versus El Segundo, Redondo Beach, all of these little cities. And if you look closely, Brentwood was one of the highest at 34. Then you had Pacific Palisades and Beverly Hills. Then it came over to Encino, Sherman Oaks. And those were some of the highest areas. And you would think, at first you're like, wow, why is that? Oh, maybe they travel. No. Then it dawned on me, this is the irregular and unfairness of what's going on. It's because they've got money and they've been tested, because no one else can get tested. But right. The people within those areas and those zip codes have money. They're famous. They're powerful. They get tested. So the results are coming back and there's more positives. But it's probably not because they're abnormally more positive. It's just they're the ones who have access to tests, or at least have until that time. That's how I saw it.
And you know, you're absolutely right, Jeff. You know, that, I mean, if you go have a symptom now, and they'll tell you, hey, go home and then come back in 3 days if you get worse. And then after 3 days, if you go back, then that's when they'll say, okay, we're going to test you for it. So, you know, it unfortunately, you know, that definitely is the difference, because if they find out, like the NBA, for the NBA is a good example of that. You know, if they get word, hey, the Nets got it, oh, we got to test the Lakers, they have the test. And they didn't have to go wait and check, and they didn't have to have a symptom. They were able to do the test. But let me just say, man, that test, I don't want to take at all, because they go through your nose all the way deep. So thank God I don't have it. But you know what? While we're on the subject, I'm going to show you all something pretty cool. You know, I went back to work. I don't know if you can see that. Yep. Too bright. Is it too bright?
There you go.
Can you tell?
Kind of.
Let me dim the light a little bit. Let me dim the light.
Yep.
Can you tell now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that looks like the Red Cross symbol.
Yeah. So I had an opportunity, I don't know if you could tell too much. Let's see if I can find a better picture. I was at work, you know, I'm a utility worker. And so because I'm at work as a utility worker, I actually was down there on Friday at the Mercy and pulled the cable in, or helped assist in pulling the cable in to bring the fiber for that boat.
Very sweet.
So it was a really cool experience. They did not let me on the boat. They literally threw a rope, you know, a fiber line. It's crazy. They threw a fiber line off the boat over to the balcony, and we pulled it on the ground through a window, down the stairs, and attached it to our fiber equipment. So that way they'll be able to, you know, get data, whatever they need to do. But it was cool to be right beside the boat, you know. To be part of it. So, you know, I'm a utility worker, so I still have opportunity to still work every day.
Well, man,
and I thought that was pretty cool.
Thank you for your service, man.
No problem, man. I'm here on the front line, man. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, they should have gave you some masks and some gloves, bro. That's what they should have done.
Man, and look, you know what? That's why I was like, hey, I need to go over here before the sick people come. Let's go.
Right, right. The boat's not supposed to be used for any COVID patients. It's supposed to be used for non-COVID only.
Yeah, no, I'm just talking about regular sick. Like we got, I know we got levels of sick.
Yeah,
sick
is sick.
All right, now let's go back to some NBA, some basketball news.
Yeah.
So I heard there was a proposal put out, or at least a suggestion, a thought, an idea for playoffs, and I'd love to run this past you and just kind of get your live reactions here. Number one, that the playoffs, all games for the NBA playoffs would be played at the Thomas and Mack Center in Vegas. So there would not be any travel time. There would be no fans. All games would be played at the Thomas and Mack Center, which, of course, has two courts. Being that there are no fans in attendance, the size of the arena doesn't matter. So which court you're playing on at Thomas and Mack really wouldn't matter. So that would reduce travel. That would reduce, the amount of people that these players are coming in contact with. So that's the first thing put out there. And then this is what's been thrown out in regards to the actual playoffs and the way that those would be set up is that all teams actually would qualify for playoffs. However, there would be a tournament, a one-game tournament playoffs for the final playoff spots. I'm not quite sure how that would work, but basically all teams would have a chance to get in, but they would have to win. The bottom teams currently would play a tournament and then win their way in, almost like a wild card, I guess. Then they would go into the first round. First round of the playoffs would be five games, best of five. So first to three wins. Second round immediately jumps to single elimination.
Wow.
Third round jumps to single. Third round goes to single elimination. Finals is best of five again. That is something that's been floated. I can tell already what the reactions are. Let's start with Pat. Pat, what are your thoughts on that?
Anytime you put in a single elimination in an NBA format, I'm already over it. Because one, the beauty of the thing about playoff basketball is like being able to make adjustments over a span of either five.
Yeah, we lost.
Yeah. Man, I don't like that. Well, let me just say this. On Friday night, when I came, I was home, the TV was on, and it was WWE wrestling. And it was just kind of just on, and I was just kind of doing whatever. And it was a replay of like a match. And then all of a sudden they went to like a live match, and it was a tag team match. And it was supposed to be whoever the winner of this is going to go to, you know, WrestleMania. You know, and I haven't watched wrestling in a long time, but I realized they were wrestling with no fans. It was a ring. And it was quiet. And you heard every echo, the mat and the slamming. And I was intrigued by the fact how I was not engaged into it because I can't watch a fan reaction to what they're doing in the ring. You know what I mean?
It does seem kind of sterile. It seems sterile to not have fans there.
Yeah. So, man, I don't think, and obviously, you know, it's a money thing where they want to try to create something so all the, you know, media partners can make their money back. But I and again, this is wrestling. I really wasn't that interested in it, but I don't think I could watch a game without that fan. You know, you don't realize that even though you're watching on TV, you could feel the energy from the
fans.
And there was there was no energy from the arena at all. You know, and wrestling, like, I don't know if I grew up on wrestling. You know, Hulk Hogan and the lights, and, you know, and the cheering and signs and all that stuff. And I was like, no, I just imagine the ball bouncing and you hearing an echo because of so few people in the arena that it wouldn't be enjoyable to me. Second thing, why would you do 3 out of 5 the first round and then go single elimination all the way to the finals? Like, you know, that's backwards. you know, it's like I'm not objecting to the shorter, you know, elimination time, but it got to be, you know, 3 out of 5, you know, it got to be at least 3 out of 5, you know, to me, because, like I said, you just need to have an opportunity to be able to make adjustments. And you may need 2 games to make adjustments. So that's my take on that.
I'm in agreement, and I think what Pat was getting to, and we'll get right back to you, Pat, right after this, is that, you know, in a single elimination, it isn't always the best team wins. It just isn't. Yet when you go to a 3 or a, you know, a 5-game or a 4-game, you know, best of 7, you're almost guaranteed the best team is going to win every time. And that is the fear. And of course, if we're Laker fans, you know, we're a team of strength. We want that 7-game series. We don't want to chance anything in single elimination, at least from my opinion. Pat, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back.
Cool.
Yeah,
I'm back. Go ahead.
So no, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's like the fact that we are strong and we have a great team. You know, we want to go ahead and wear you down over the, you know, 4 games, 5 games, 6 games of a series. And then another thing with the single elimination, I mean, just look at the last weekend, full weekend of NBA basketball before they shut it down. I think we beat Milwaukee, we beat the Clippers, and then I think the next game we lost to, I think, the Nets.
The Nets.
So it was like, to me, it was like, all right, so now let's think about these, you know, these single elimination games now. Because, yeah, you would think that people will work hard, I mean, because it's like do or die. But at the same time, we just literally lost to the Nets. And I would not be okay with us losing to the Nets in a single elimination game. I can stomach it if it's, you know, if it's Milwaukee or if it's Toronto or even if it's like Denver. But if you're saying bottom of the barrel, go in there and there's Cinderellas in NBA basketball, there really no Cinderellas in NBA basketball. Yeah, so to me, I just don't feel the single elimination works. And another thing also, and I mean probably more importantly for me, is the fan, like Michael was saying, involvement in the game. There is one thing about seeing a game, and we've seen it before. I mean, Portland, you know, game 7 against Portland. It was Brian Shaw hitting those shots, but it was also the crowd that was just getting just crazy after every miss. The magnitude, the pressure of the game started to, you know, rise. And so it's not only just the game of basketball. Like, yeah, you got to be able to shoot shots and everything. But when the weight of the pressure gets on you and you still need to make that same shot, that's also a part of the game. That's part what did we talk about, playoff pressure. So if you don't have that kind of that other type of factor, or you know, in the game, you're the, like the fan factor. I mean, lack of a better term, then you're missing something. And I don't think if we're talking about asterisks, you know, you really gotta be. I mean, because it's not the same. You know, it's not Magic Johnson doing his hook shot in Boston Garden in Game 5. you know, there's no Boston, there's no fans. He makes that shot tonight. It was the fact that everybody was cheering against him that made that shot the way it was. So, I mean, but that's just my opinion about it.
Z, I want to interject.
When you were describing the playoff scenarios, the only thing I could think of is if everybody gets a fair shake, what if the Clippers happen to have a good day and then they win it all? Then I'll be mad. So I can't. Well,
as far as I'm concerned, then there's an asterisk.
To possibly win in this scenario. I don't like it.
No. If the Clippers win, there's definitely an asterisk. But if the Lakers win, you know, it's just the way the season kind of went.
It's just 17. Added on the wall.
What can we do? It's just.
But it's still like, and then the fan, like not having the fans there, that definitely changes the whole dynamic. So, yeah.
That is probably a very likely scenario is that the fans will not be there. Because I think the NBA wants to get this going as soon as possible. And I think that as soon as players are allowed to congregate and get together and play, they will, and that will happen much sooner than 20,000 people will be allowed to get together. They're gonna send this up. Also with the single elimination, you know, the networks, we talked about this, right? The networks are trying to recoup money. The NBA is trying to recoup money. With a single elimination, you know, they could end up with a, you know, Suns, versus, you know, who knows, Nets. Mm-hmm. Finals, you just, you know, and they don't want that either. They don't want that either. So, you know, this was just one idea that was floated. So, you know, it's out there, but at least people are talking, at least they're thinking, and at least the talk is still that the playoffs and the season of some kind will remain. There was one other big news factor, guys, that really shook LA locally here, and that is that the Clippers owner, Steve Ballmer, purchased the former Lakers temple, being the Forum, and that shook everyone to their core. But there's details about that make a big difference. Number one, the Clippers are never going to play in the Forum. That was never the idea. They will not step foot in the Forum and play a game. That is not their goal. Their goal is to build a different stadium somewhere nearby. The owners of the Forum didn't want them to build that new stadium. So Ballmer decided to buy the Forum from the people that were causing him issues, and now he has no more issues. What do you think about that, Mike?
You know, I think it's awesome, dude. I think it's, you know, when you see billionaires fighting over billionaires, like, you know, like personally, not to disclose too much, you know, I was, me and my wife were in a lawsuit, and they had way more money than we did. And they basically weighed us out so we could give up and then they could win, right? But when you got a billionaire and a billionaire, there's no waiting out. You know what I mean? There is like, look, I have as much money as you, so we're going to fight this, and it could go on years and years and years, continue with. And one thing I learned about the experience that I had with my wife when we were going through it is the lawyers have no interest at all in settling anything. Because as soon as they settle it, then yeah, you know, the check stops, right? Exactly. So just by that experience, you know, you got billionaires fighting billionaires. Ballmer knew what he wanted to do, so he said, you know what? Hey, y'all, why don't I just buy the Forum, and then we'll be good to give y'all $400 million. I'll give it to you cash, and now I can do whatever the heck I want to do. And you know, I mean, honestly, dude, it's a gangster move.
Total.
It's a gangster move. I agree. When I heard the Forum was bought, you know, I was like, man, that is
he bought it, but it wasn't on the market. That's the cold part about
it. Right.
You know, so now he's able to go over there and off of Century and now build that arena and then have whatever the Clipper Palace is or whatever. So, look, everybody knows it's a Laker town. I mean, they have to get at minimum, and Pat, I don't know, five championships even to get in the discussion of the Lakers, at least five.
Well, because I would say just what is it a real discussion?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay,
if we're taking them seriously, I mean, we're still because to me. I put things in perspective like this. You got the Chicago Bulls have 6 championships. They're literally the Michael Jordan era. They got 6 championships. The Bulls franchise, but they ain't got anything since. That's just pretty much their era. Now we're going to go and let's talk about it because the people, we're just fresh out of it, but there's the San Antonio era. Now we have Popovich, we had Tim Duncan, we had them. They got 5 championships in that era. If they don't win anything after that, they don't win anything, you pretty much a flash in the pan. When you look at
the Kobe era, though.
Right. Huh?
They still call that the Kobe era. Even
well, yeah, because they look at those championships that we won, and they're thinking like, okay. But, I mean, to be honest with you, they built their team over the years to stop us. It wasn't the other way around. They built their team to stop us. The Twin Towers were there for us. It wasn't there for anybody. It was for there for us. When they built and they were getting – when they were getting, you know, Rose, and they were getting all these big men, and they were trying to stop our big man attack. They when we were out of the picture and Kobe Bryant and Shaq pretty much broke up, it was free reign after that. You notice they won 3 championships after we broke up. So, I mean, you know what they were built for. There's no Shaq and Kobe. Who else is left? But anyway, so when it goes back to, like, if they win a championship, I'm thinking if you win one, you're just an irritant, which I think that's all they want to be. I don't think they have – they know they will never win 16 championships. Who the hell wins 16 championships? No one's doing it. But if they win one championship, it's just like the Mets and the Yankees. They're the irritant. Where were you in 2021 when the Clippers beat and won the world championship? Oh, I was here. I was there. That's all they need to romanticize that to make it the biggest championship in the L.A. history. They would do that because they need to market it. But other than that, there was no way they would ever be in the conversation with the Lakers. Never. I don't care if they win 10 championships. We'll never be in the same conversation.
I think it's not the number of championships, and you hit the nail on the head there, Pat. It's the sustained success, and it's with multiple teams. The Lakers have done this with multiple teams. All players change, built it again, did it again. All players change, built it again, did it again. You know, just going out there with, let's just say, a Kawhi PG, like you said, there you go, Bryant. A Kawhi PG team, and even if they win 2, it's just the okay, they had their little time at that point, but it's not really Clippers success, right? You look at the Bulls, and that was Jordan's team. It isn't the Bulls. You look at the Lakers, and it doesn't matter how great the teams were, they're Laker teams, because it's sustained, and it's continued, and it's repeated. That's what it would take, and we're a good 30 years away from them ever doing anything like that, right. So I'm not too worried about it right now. You hit the nail on the head. It's just sustained success, but with multiple teams, I think.
And you know, before we jump off the point, one thing that was kind of cool about this little detail about Ballmer buying the Forum, he bought it from MSG. You yep. guys know that. It's literally he bought that from Dolan. Dolan owned the Forum. Dolan was playing Harbaugh. But this is Dolan when it was Big Bank, pretty much take Little Bank. He said, you're going to go ahead and tie me up with litigation. You're going to say I can't do this because it's going to take business away from the Forum. Okay, I'll just go ahead and buy the Forum. Now I can do what I want to do. And he literally bought that from, you know, the shareholders of MSG. Pretty much like circumvented James Dolan out the sale. I mean, he really got – not swindled, but he knew he named a price and he didn't think the price was going to be met, and he met it, and he got that.
Well, I actually have some numbers on that really quick. MSG bought the Forum for just under $25 million.
Yep.
For just under $25 million.
Yep.
They put $125 million into the rebuild. So they're $150 million in and just sold it for $400 million. So that was a deal they couldn't refuse.
They couldn't.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Like I said, it was a straight gangster move, you know. And look, hey, right side is it's an LA arena now owned by an LA team, which is, you know, because I was a little bummed to hear that Madison Square Garden bought it, you know what I mean? Simply because it wasn't, you know, LA, you know, bred arena, you know what I mean? So it's back. And I don't have any animosity towards Clippers because why would I? You know, they're the stepchild of the Lakers. So, you know, I'm not ever, you know, hating on them. So
that's a one-way rivalry. They have a rivalry with us. We don't have a rivalry with them. So
right. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's a great way to end it. As usual, we'll finish up with any last-minute thoughts. Z, since you're joining us and you're a guest, any last-minute thoughts before we go?
I just don't feel comfortable with a fanless, winner-take-all, sudden, one game off. I don't feel comfortable with that. And I think, buying the farm was definitely a great business move. But as far as the Clippers are concerned, they have a long way to go before they get any respect to this town. I mean, I'll go to the games, but I mean, Laker for life. What can I say?
That's right.
Pat, bring us in.
Tiger King. Gotta watch that Tiger King. That's all I'm going to leave on. You got to watch that.
All right.
So you know what? I think it'll be fun to do. We're gonna end it on a Lakers note. This time, March 29th, 1962. Can you guess what happened? This day in Laker history, stat pack.
1962, bro, man, come on.
Who was on the team?
1962.
All right. Time is running out.
All right.
Elgin Baylor and Jerry West were the first two Lakers to score both over 40 points.
Oh, wow.
Elgin scored 45, Jerry West scored 41. And they in a loss to Detroit, a 118-117 in the Western Division Finals.
Wow, that was Detroit. What Detroit team was that? The Pistons in 62?
Yeah, must have been. I don't know who was on that team.
Wow.
But that's the highlight is Elgin and Jerry West were the first two players to score over 40 points in one game in the playoffs. This day in history.
Wonderful.
So a little Laker tidbit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right, everybody, thanks for joining us. You know where to find us at the Profanity Nation. Thank you, Z. Thank you, Stat Pat. Thank you, Money Mike. Of course, I'm Jay Simsta. Everybody, have a good night. We'll see you next week. Laker for life.
Lakers, peace.